again. I am thankful for the opportunity to preach. If any of you are keeping track, which I highly doubt any of you are, if any of you are keeping track, it's been pretty much a year since the last time I preached on a Sunday morning. I've taught on Sunday nights a few times in the past year or so, but this is the first time in about a year. So if you're keeping track, that's what it is. And so I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach this morning. I would have preferred that Pastor Chad was here, but it's good that he's able to take a vacation and get away with his family. And so please be praying for them as they are at family camp this week, and we'll be spending time together up there. For those of you who are here, last Sunday evening, I taught the Bible study from Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8. And if you remember, I said, there's a to be continued, so to speak. I said, this coming Sunday morning today, I was speaking last Sunday, that we would continue on in Psalm 119. So if you were here, you will have known that's where we're going to be this morning. And as we looked at those verses 1 through 8 last week, last Sunday night, we found that we saw that we should find joy in keeping God's word, that we find joy in keeping God's word. And just for those of you who weren't here, I shared some interesting facts that didn't necessarily pertain to the lesson last Sunday night, but about Psalm 119 that might be interesting to you, might help you win in some Bible trivia games down the road. But some interesting facts about Psalm 119. It's the longest psalm and the longest chapter in the Bible. And it has 176 verses in the chapter. And those 176 verses are broken down into 22 sections of 8 verses. See, and you didn't think I could do math. I can do math. Actually, it was given to me, so I didn't have to do it all. But there's 176 verses, 22 sections of 8 verses, and each section of the psalm begins with a letter from the Hebrew alphabet. Okay, now, how many of you know the Hebrew alphabet? Awesome. Okay, so it probably means nothing to you that each section begins. But if you notice in your Bible, there might be at the beginning of each section, there's a word. And that's how that letter of the Hebrew alphabet is pronounced or spelled. And so what also is interesting is each section, that first word in each section begins with that letter of the Hebrew alphabet. That word begins with that Hebrew letter in the Hebrew alphabet. So again, helpful information, maybe. I don't know. Take it and do with it what you want. Jeremiah told me this morning he's got a book of useless informations. You could probably add that in there, Jeremiah, for information that you don't know when you'll use it again. But this morning we're going to look at the second section in the book, verses 9 through 16. And if you would, please take your copy of God's Word and find Psalm 119. And we're going to begin by reading in verse 9. Of Psalm 119. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. As we begin this section of Psalm 119, we find the psalmist starting out this section with a question. This is not normal for authors of psalms to start out with a question like this. This is maybe something you would find more in the book of Proverbs, where the author gives a question and then an answer. But here we find the psalmist giving a question, and he says, his question is, how can a young man keep his way pure? And this morning, that's what we want to seek to answer. We want to seek to answer that question from the Word of God. And I realize that you sitting here this morning might not see yourself in that category of young man. Okay, I understand that, but I think the bigger issue is purity in our life. And so this morning, our big idea is that God wants you to pursue purity rooted in his word. God wants you to pursue purity rooted in his word. And purity is just another way to say holiness. So you might say God wants you to pursue holiness rooted in God's word. And that's what we're going to look at from this passage this morning. And so, number one, we do this by keeping God's word close. Looking at verses 9 through 11, we see that we root our purity or our holiness in God's word by keeping God's word close. We cannot be casual in our efforts to keep God's word close. We cannot just approach it in any way we want, with any mindset we want. We have to be earnestly, seriously seeking God as we seek to keep God's word close. Now, I say God, we need to earnestly seek God, because I believe that in our keeping of God, keeping God's word close, we must pursue the God of the word. It's not enough just to know God's word. Knowing God's word is only good in as much as it helps us to know the God of the word and the knowledge of the God of the word. That's why we have the word of God, is so that we can know God. The psalmist asks the question, how can a young man keep his way pure? And he answers it in the same verse. He says, by guarding it according to your word. All right, we can go home, right? We've got the question, we've got the answer. Does everybody know what it means to guard our way according to the word? I think we need to look into that a little bit more. He says, by guarding it according to the word. In other words, for us to pursue purity, we must guard our lives by the word of God. We must set up guards or guardrails in our lives. The guarding here is to defend against sin and temptation in our lives. In our pursuit of purity, in our pursuit of holiness, we have to guard against the ever-coming sins and temptations of this world. Pursuing purity intentionally sets up guards so that we do not give in to sin easily. I recently thought about driving on a mountain pass, and are there oftentimes some sort of a guardrail along the edge of a mountain pass as you're driving, whether you're in the Rockies or somewhere else? Is there usually some sort of a guardrail? Yeah, usually there is. And what's the purpose of those guardrails? Keep you on the road so you don't go careening over the cliff. And what we need in our lives is to set up the Word of God so that we have these guardrails that help us from careening off into sin. And that's what the Word of God does. But we have to be intentional about that. We have to be purposeful in that. What do we use to guard our lives from sin and temptation? Well, we use God's Word, as the psalmist says. God's word is the only sufficient guard for a holy life. A life of purity, a life of holiness, is a life that is saturated in the word of God, one that is soaking up constantly the word of God. Not only do we need to guard our lives according to God's word, we must diligently seek God. If you look at verse 10, he says, with my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. We use God's word to guard our lives, and we need to pursue God by seeking him. We need to be passionate about this. This is his prayer. He says, with my whole heart, with all that I am, I seek you. We're passionate about a lot of things. And we're passionate about a lot of things, and those things might be good things. We get passionate about sports. Okay? We live in the town of Harlan, and Harlan is passionate about sports. If you don't believe me, go check out their bleachers at their football field on the backside. They're passionate about their football. Okay? They're passionate about their basketball. And their baseball team is in the playoffs right now. We're passionate about sports in the town of Harlan. I grew up in a town that was terrible at sports. So that doesn't quite translate as well for me. We were bad. We oftentimes didn't get to finish a football game because they have what they call a mercy rule. And they just stopped the game, okay? Oftentimes, we didn't even get to halftime because they had to stop the game. That's how bad we were at football. And so our school thought, oh, well, we'll get better at football if we go from 11-man to 8-man. That didn't help us at all. We just weren't good at sports. So, but we get passionate about lots of things. You might be passionate about your family. People get passionate about their family, their kids, their grandkids, showing pictures of them. You might get passionate about your job. You might be passionate about your hobbies. We get passionate about a lot of things, but the one thing in our lives that we should have the greatest passion for, that should be supreme in our lives, is the Word of God, or more specifically, the God of the Word. And as we seek God, as we have this, we have to have a focus on Him. We have to have a focus to seeking God diligently. We should have a daily prayer, as the psalmist does in verse 10, that says, "With my whole heart, God, help me to seek you. Help me to go after you above all other good things in this world. Help me to seek you. Help me to desire you above all else." We are incapable as human beings to seek God. How do I know that? The Bible says that we are sinners. The Bible says that we have all gone astray. We've gone our own way. We have not sought after God. If you really want to be encouraged today, go read Romans chapter 3. That'll really encourage your soul today. Really encourage you at how good of a person you really are. But in Romans chapter 3, we see that there is nothing good within us, and that there is nothing in us that wants to seek God. We need Him to open our eyes to see the glorious truths about Him from His Word. We diligently seek for the purpose of not wandering from His Word. Okay, earlier in verse 9, he says that he guards his way according to the word. Here he says he wants to seek God for the purpose of not wandering from his commandments, not wandering from his word. How many of you ever spent time wandering? How many of you men have ever taken a grocery list and gone to this grocery store for your wife and wondered, where in the world do they keep this stuff in this store? How many of you have ever been there? Okay? Sometimes I don't think stores carry it, or they hide it from us. But this week, Maggie was gone, and we had to go to the store, and there was one thing. We didn't need very much, but we had to go look for it, and the boys and I were searching for it. We found it. But sometimes we search and search for things, and we wander in our searching, and the psalmist is saying he doesn't want to wander. He wants to stay focused on God and to seek Him. The next thing in verse 11, we see that we keep God's word close by treasuring God's word. Your translation may say a couple of different words. It may say stored up, as it does in the English Standard Version. It may say hidden. It may say treasured. It may say something else. But the idea here is that we are stockpiling in our minds and our hearts the word of God. Because God's word is valuable. God's word is worthwhile, and so we store it up in our minds. We should see God's word as the supreme treasure in our life. We see lots of things as treasures in life. We see things, lots of things as valuable in our lives. Some people are really good at stockpiling things. There's a show on TV, or at least there was a show on TV, called Hoarders. And they talked about these people who had all sorts of absolute ridiculous things. One time I helped my brother-in-law, who does estate sales. I went to help him get ready for an estate sale. And this lady loved cats. Now, when I say she loved cats, she loved cat paraphernalia, not cats themselves. Oh, she had cat statues, cat books on cats, stuffed animal cats. She had, crazy enough, she had actually cat tails. Not actually a cat tail, but the weed or whatever it is. Maybe it's a flower, I don't know. But she had like bundles of those throughout her house. And as we cleaned out her house and got things ready for this, we found 5 mice. I don't know if there's any irony there that this lady loved cat paraphernalia and yet had 5 mice in her house. I don't know if there's any connection there. But this lady loved cats, and she stockpiled all this cat paraphernalia up. It was actually rather disgusting, but she loved it. Do we do that with the Word of God in our lives? Do we stockpile the Word of God? Do we hoard the Word of God in our lives, in our minds? When a person finds a treasure, he goes all in to get that treasure. I don't know if you've ever read any books about pirates or buried treasure, but that's what they do. They do all they can to go after that treasure, and they'll give up everything to get that treasure. God's word is that valuable treasure, and it's worth more than anything. It's worth more than any riches in the world. The problem that I see in my own life, and I believe is in the lives of most Christians, is that we don't see the word of God as valuable. We don't see the word of God as valuable because we often take it for granted. This morning, you're holding the word of God in your hands, whether in paper form or electronic. You have many copies of the word of God at your home. And yet, do we spend time in it? Do we memorize it? Do we study it intently? I don't think that we do to the extent that we could or that God would desire of us. We should hoard God's word in our minds, and we do this by memorizing God's word so that we might not sin against him, as it says in as the psalmist says in verse 11. When we memorize God's word, we're storing it up for an opportune time. We're keeping it, we're internalizing it, we're taking God's word in so that when temptation comes or when struggles come, we have something to hold to cling to, that we don't run to false gods and false treasures in our lives. Purity rooted in God's word keeps it close. How are you doing at keeping God's word close? When was the last time you have memorized the passage of God's word for yourself? Not for any other purpose, but because you wanted to keep God's word close. Purity rooted in God's word keeps it close. And secondly, in verses 12 to 14, we see that we root our purity in God's word by studying God's word. The studying of God's word requires our diligent, purposeful focus. We must study God's word. In verse 12, the psalmist breaks into praise to God, which maybe seems odd to us, but he's been talking about how to keep his way pure, how to live a life of purity. And then in verse 12, beginning there, he says, "Blessed are you, O Lord." I heard someone say one time that we need to be careful of commentaries and Bible study helps that never use the word O. And I mean O-H, like is oh, how great God is. Oh, how magnificent God is. And I don't know if this is true. This is one man's opinion. But his opinion was that we ought to respond to God in praise and thanksgiving and in adoration for who he is and what he has done. And when we study the word of God, there ought to be times where we step back and we say, "Wow, you are an amazing God. You are an incredible God." And when we study God's word, sometimes we need to step back and say, "Blessed are you, O Lord." His response to God was praise. His response to the God of the word was praise. Praise to God for his word is the right response to a person that has internalized God's word, to a person who's memorized God's word. And as we go about the wonderful task of memorizing God's word, we ought to respond to God with praise and thanksgiving. Why, you might ask? Well, God's word is the only effective tool in fighting the fight of faith in our lives. In God's word, we see God. In God's word, we find hope in Jesus. In God's word, we find joy and we find life. And we can say with Peter in John 6, 68 and 69, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Peter and the other disciples were given the opportunity by Jesus to leave and to go their own way. And Peter says, "Where else can we go? No one speaks the words of God like you." Praise to God for his word should be a natural response to memorizing the word of God. As we internalize God's word, we ought to respond with praise and adoration to who God is and what he has done. The psalmist does exactly that when he declares, "Blessed are you, O Lord." Now, his praise to God isn't long. The rest of the verse shows the psalmist turning from praise to petition. And he says, teach me your statutes. Teach me your statutes. The psalmist makes a request of God that God would teach him. He wants to learn God's word. He's not satisfied with what he knows. He's not satisfied with what he knows about God. Therefore, he asks God to teach him. The request to be taught flows from a realization that the psalmist doesn't know all he needs to know in life. There's a teachable attitude that the psalmist has here. He's approaching God by saying, God, I need you to teach me. When we approach God, we should have a genuine willingness to learn, not I know it all, I've read it all, I've heard it all mentality. Do we praise God for his word and then humbly ask God to teach us? One who has been redeemed ought to praise God and humbly seek to study God's word. In verse 13, the psalmist goes on to show that when we have studied God's word and have been taught by God, we will speak God's word to others. He says, with my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. A person who has been treasuring God's word and studying God's word will speak it to others. As we store up God's word in our minds, we will speak it to others. It will naturally come out in our conversations, whether we intentionally mean to speak it or it just comes out casually in our everyday conversations with people. What comes out of our mouths in our conversation with others is what we've been thinking about. It's what we view as significant in life. When we speak with another person, what is important to us, what we value, comes out. Often people talk about families or jobs or hobbies or sports or politics or the weather. These are things that just naturally come out of people's mouths when we talk. While these are not bad things to talk about, and sometimes they can be enjoyable to discuss with another person, does God's word show up in your conversations? The psalmist has a characteristic in his life for speaking God's word to others. He found joy in God's word and wanted others to know the word of God as he has, and he continually spoke the word of God to others. My guess is there's been a time where you've been spending time reading God's word and maybe even memorizing a verse or two or a chapter of God's word, and you've thought, wow, this is really an amazing verse or chapter. Have you shared that with anyone? Have you called someone up or emailed them or sent them a text message to share with them, this is what I read in God's word. This is amazing. Think about what it says about God. The person who studies God's word will want to speak God's word. At the end of verse 13, we find the psalmist saying, all the rules of your mouth. That's what he's speaking. He says, all the rules of your mouth. The psalmist sought to speak the words that come from the mouth of God. And this might be not really that big of a deal to think through, but for me, it was pretty amazing to stop and ponder the fact that the words that we hold in our hands are God's words. They come from the mouth of God. We hold in our hands the words of God. The creator of all, including you and me, spoke to us through human authors so that we might know and glorify him by enjoying him forever. We have God's word in our hands so that we can know him and glorify him by enjoying him forever. So when we open our Bibles, we should see it with new eyes that have been opened by the glorious gospel to see our God. Also to hear from our God, what comes out of our mouth, out of your mouth when you talk with others? What comes out of your mouth when you talk with others? Does God's word? As we study God's word, we will come to highly value God's word. We will see it as a treasure of incalculable worth. We will find in it our greatest joy, and that is Jesus. When I think of people searching for incalculable worth, I'm reading the Hobbit to my boys. And if you know anything about the Hobbit, there are 13 dwarves and Bilbo Baggins, the Hobbit, who are going after dwarf treasure, okay? There's a mountain where they have all their treasure, but there's one rather large issue with this pursuit of this treasure. And if you know The Hobbit, there's a dragon that is there who has taken the gold for his own. And the Hobbit and these dwarves are seeking this treasure. And as you learn more about these dwarves, there is nothing that they want more than their treasure back. That's what they want. That's what they're pursuing. That's what they're going after. It's their greatest joy, their greatest treasure. And as great as this dwarf treasure probably is or was, it's nothing in comparison to the treasure that is the Word of God, because in it we find Jesus. We find eternal life in the Word of God. In verse 14, the psalmist says, "In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches." Here he declares God's word to be his delight. Wealth to him held no comparison to the Word of God. The Word of God was his greatest treasure. God's word is of supreme value. It has everything we need for life and holiness. Question is, why then do we look other places for joy? Why do we look for satisfaction in life from other things? God's word is better than anything we could ever accumulate on earth. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God's word, the God of the word, is greater than anything that we could ever accumulate here on earth? Do you desire to study God's word? And when I say study, I think all of us would say, yeah, I desire to study God's word. But the question I have is, do we actually study God's word? By study, I do not mean simply reading your Bible. While reading your Bible is good and we should do it, it's not enough. Studying the Bible moves beyond just reading what we see in front of us. Studying the Bible means reading it, asking questions about it, and prayerfully, humbly looking to God for understanding. It means staring at a text until we understand what God wanted the original readers to understand. And that may take 5 minutes, that may take an hour, it may take multiple days of studying, of looking at asking questions of the text, and prayerfully, humbly looking to God for understanding. We root our purity in God's word by studying the word of God. Third, we see in verses 15 to 16 that we root our purity in God's word by deeply reflecting on God's word. We must be intentional about deeply reflecting on God's word, because our natural bent is to do what comes easy. And deeply reflecting on God's word is hard work. Spending time deep thinking on God's word is not easy. This past Wednesday night in youth group, I made the teens do something like this in youth group. We stopped and for 5 minutes, we thought about God. And I said, however you want to do that, just stop. And for 5 minutes, I'll keep track of the time and let you know, we're going to stop and we're just going to think about God and ponder. We were looking at Psalm 46 and verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." And we stopped. And we talked about it afterwards. And what we found was each one of us had a difficulty staying focused. And that's leaders and teens. It's not just the teenagers. But my guess is you would have the same difficulty if you stopped for 5 minutes and pondered God. It's hard to stay focused on God. It's hard to not let our minds wander onto other things. This morning, if I asked you to do that, you might have a hard time staying focused because there's a growling going on around you. You're looking forward to what's coming next and the dinner meal. And so you're a little hungry. Maybe you didn't eat quite enough for breakfast this morning. There's all sorts of things that can distract us from deeply reflecting on the Word of God. And here in verse 15, the psalmist says, "I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways." He is saying that he will give all of himself to think deeply on God's word. He will meditate on God's word. Meditating on God's word is similar to memorizing God's word. The difference is memorizing stores up God's word in our minds, and meditating mulls over and over the verse or verses of scripture that we've internalized. See, the difference is memorizing just puts it into our mind. Meditating mulls it over. It ponders it over and over again. In meditating, we lock our mental focus in on a verse or passage of God's word and talk about it to ourselves. The word meditate here in the Hebrew has the idea of a man or a woman simply talking to themselves about the word of God. Now, my guess is none of you in here are going to admit that you ever talk to yourself. But my guess is you probably talk to yourself. I talk to myself. I have a good conversation. I don't know about that, but I talk to myself. But that's the idea. When we meditate on God's word, we talk to ourselves about the word of God. It's moving from simply storing up God's word in our minds to taking chunks of time to contemplate what the word of God says about God, about us, and about holy living. The psalmist is committing to deeply reflecting on God's word. He knows this will change his life. He knows that the time spent in meditating and deep thinking on God's word will impact the way that he thinks, the way that he speaks, and the way that he acts. He knows that fixing his eyes, as he says in the second part of verse 15, that fixing his eyes on God's word will equip him to say no to sin in his pursuit of holiness. Meditating is like putting a tea bag into a cup of hot water. I like tea. And when I put a tea bag in that cup of hot water, something happens to that water. The longer I leave that tea bag in the cup, the more the water is influenced by the tea bag. And in the same way, the longer we deeply reflect on the word of God, the more it impacts our lives. The more it impacts our lives. Have you ever spent time deeply reflecting on God's word? Have you ever spent time deeply pondering the truths of Scripture about God, ourselves, and a holy life? You can begin by memorizing a verse or verses and then talking to yourself throughout the day or for a section of that day about that verse. And a great way to spend time meditating on it is praying through that verse. Taking that verse or that section of verses and turning it into a prayer to God. In verse 16, the psalmist says, "I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word." Through deeply reflecting on God's word, we receive joy. The word of God is meant to create joy in us. God's word becomes our joy and delight. When we deeply reflect on God's word, we have it ever in front of us. When it's been put into our minds and we're thinking about it, the word of God is in the forefront of our mind. It's what we think about. It's what we go to in times of need, in times of struggle. We have internalized God's word through meditation or memorization, and now we spend time thinking deeply about it. In all this, we should find great joy in the God of the word. The question is, why should we find great joy in God's word? Now, I can tell you that. You can read that in the word of God, but why? Why should we find great joy in God's word? Because in God's word, we learn who God is. Think of Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah probably thought he knew God. Isaiah probably thought he understood about God. But when he saw God, what was his response? He was undone. And the word is basically obliterated. Like he saw himself for who he truly was. And in God's word, we learn who God is and we learn who we are. And we also learn what Jesus has done for us on the cross and through the empty grave. And we also learn how we can respond to what Jesus has done for us. All this should cause joy to arise in us as we internalize and deeply think about the Word of God. The Word of God should be our greatest delight in life. Do you spend time deeply reflecting on God's Word? Do you spend time deeply reflecting on God's Word? Not just a casual reading of God's Word, but a stopping and for sections, chunks of time, thinking about what you read and how that impacts your life today, what it teaches us about God. We root our purity in God's Word by deeply reflecting on God's Word. We must be intentional about deeply reflecting on God's Word, because our natural bent is to do what comes easy. And it's easy to sit down with our Bibles and read it. That's easy, and that's a good thing to do. I'm not trying to minimize anyone's reading of God's Word. That's good. We need to do that, and I encourage you to keep doing that. We provide each year Bible reading plans, and it's a great thing to do to spend time reading through the Bible in a year. But do you take the next step and study it and deeply reflect on it? That's hard work. That takes purposeful effort. And this morning as we close, I want to remind you what our big idea is. Our big idea from this passage this morning is that God wants you to pursue purity rooted in His Word. God's desire for each of us is to pursue holiness. Where we begin that pursuit of holiness is by believing that we have rebelled and sinned against our holy Creator God. That's where we begin. And due to our sinful rebellion, we are facing the holy wrath of God. But God, in His incredible grace and mercy, sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place for our sins on the cross. And praise God that in His Word, we see this grace. And how we can respond to it is by repentant faith in Jesus alone. That's where we begin, the pursuit of purity. It begins in the Word by seeing us as sinners and responding and trusting Christ as our Savior. But for those of us who have done this already, are you living a life in pursuit of purity? We can pursue a lot of things in life, a lot of good things in life. But is your goal, is your drive in life to be pure? Is your purity rooted in God's Word? Is your pursuit of purity rooted in God's Word? Or is your pursuit of purity rooted in your own efforts and doing what you can do to be pure or holy? And I want to leave you with a few next steps to take as you, by God's grace, pursue purity rooted in His Word. I want to leave you with a few things to take away this morning. First, have you begun this journey of purity? And we do that by repenting of our sins and trusting Jesus as your Savior. A life of purity begins by responding to Jesus in faith. This morning, if you want to begin this life of this pursuit of purity, repent of your sins and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Second, look to Jesus for the grace and strength to pursue purity. Look to Jesus for the grace and strength to pursue purity. Refuse to believe the lie that you can do this on your own. We live in a culture that says we don't need anybody else. We don't need anything else. We can do it. But when it comes to holiness, when it comes to purity, we can't. We cannot do it alone. We need God first and foremost, and we need our church family as well in this pursuit of holiness, this pursuit of purity. We must refuse to believe the lie that we can do it on our own. Ask God for help in this pursuit of purity. And third, hold fast God's Word. Hold fast God's Word. Prayerfully seek to internalize God's Word by memorizing it, by studying it, and meditating on it. There are tools to help you do this that people have put together for us. If you are interested in these, please talk to myself or Pastor Chad, or simply do a Google search It's as simple as that. There's places all over the internet that give you tools and resources to hold fast to the Word of God and encourage you to do that. These are just three simple things that you can do to root your purity in the Word of God. God wants you to pursue purity rooted in His Word. Father God, thank you for saving us. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for our sins. And Father, help us to look to Jesus as we depend on you to pursue holiness in our lives. Father, thank you for your Word in which we find the soul-sustaining food for fighting for holiness. Please help us to go from here, rejoicing in you and rejoicing in your Word. Help us to live pure lives rooted in your Word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.